You are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. Dwayne.
Hello.
Niall.
Guaranteed to blow your mind.
And me, Brian. This week is episode 21. Yoshikage Kira just wants to live quietly, part one. In which the everybody goes off model, particularly Shigeichi. But
yeah, it's the incredible shrinking or enlarging head.
Though, to be honest, some of the things I thought were off were bad animation. I then went and checked the comic, and it turned out that yes, that door is that small in the gym.
Yeah,
all of the little window.
He would not fit his head through there.
But when we'll get to that anyway. So. This episode involves Yoshikage Kira, our serial killer at large who likes chopping off people's hands and taking them on dates.
It would take JoJo to go like, right, you know that serial killer we've been promising? Right, here's an episode from his perspective.
He just wants to go on a date with his hand, pick up a sandwich from Mr. Gentleman.
It is the best sandwich shop, you guys.
Yes, they got the softest bread, you still feel its warmth, they're normally all gone by 1 o'clock.
The way they talk about Morio in this, like, you'd think it was a tourist thing for the town, because it actually is like, that does sound like a good sandwich.
I don't know. Like when you go on, like, a walking tour of, like, a city in Europe, they often say, this, like, place we're going to stop half a tour to get some lunch is at the best whatever kind of food shop in town.
Yeah.
They're going to say it is, but often it is pretty good.
Yeah.
They sold out by lunchtime. That's pretty impressive to me.
It's a plot point in Yokai Watch episodes and... In the game as well, they got like the bread. There's only three of each day. The one which gives you the most health.
Yeah. I've seen enough high school, or read enough high school manga to know that, there's a big rush to get to the cafeteria before all the good bread runs out. So this must be a thing.
Yeah. And then this guy, not only is he a serial killer, he then goes and ruins a sandwich and then leaves it there.
He doesn't even buy that sandwich, yeah. Come on, dude. If you're going to stick your dead girlfriend hand into a sandwich, then at least buy that one.
Yeah, I should probably just stop thinking this would be fine this time and watching JoJo while I'm eating, because, you know.
No. Like, that's the worst
thing. 5 minutes in, and we get the sandwich shop scenario.
Well, you could have waited till the end of 91 days to have your dinner.
Yep.
Yes, I might have to bring back my column about anime nightmares of food hygiene, which I think I've only done two of before.
I don't know, like, it was bad enough that he stuck the dead hand. It's like, here, feel the sandwich, honey. You know, nobody in the fucking place noticing this. And the whole thing of it was like, I guess I'll have to lick the sauce off. And I was just like, oh, for fuck's sake, this is so gross.
This later on, when we're sitting down in the park with the sandwiches, and he's just like, here, have a sandwich. And he's going, ooh, air freshener. She's trying to get a little ripe. Time to break up with her.
I was so pleased the subtitles described her as getting ripe.
Because that was pretty good. Yeah.
That is my favorite expression for bad smells. But then a dog wants to get his...
And as soon as I saw the dog, I was like, run out of here, dog! This isn't a good show
We're
for you.
We're not allowed for this world.
Because he's now hiding the hand in the sandwich bag.
Yeah, whenever anyone comes near his little picnic.
So, yeah, he gives the dog the old death stare. And it runs off. But then, who else should be wandering through the park? But our three favourite schoolboys.
What's his name has managed to get the sandwich early. Shigechi's managed to get the sandwich early, and the other lads are like, hey, would you give us like 1,000 yen for the lunch? He's like, motherfucker, I know you have money.
You have like 1,000,000 yen in your bank account.
The whole thing of it was like, well, but we're saving that. It's too awkward to go to the bank. Come on, just loan us. We only need 500 yen. What a bunch of assholes.
So he gives them the 1,000 yen, writes in his book.
He's in the diary, yeah.
Yeah, he sits down to work out the dates and he wants to take the, but while he's not paying attention, the dog runs off with his sandwiches.
Ain't that always the way?
Like, oh, where's my sandwich? But he doesn't see the dog. He just turns around and the sandwiches are gone.
Mm.
And he's like, where's my sandwiches? Where's my sandwiches? And he sees them over by a tree. He says, well, that's a little further away than I thought I put them.
That's probably them.
Don't remember that at all.
And sneaks up behind Kira and swipes his sandwich back.
And then he's given the look of, oh no.
No, I
bought my girlfriend a ring recently and they'll be able to trace the thing and they'll be able to trace my fingerprints on the hand, back to me, that kind of thing, yeah.
He seems pretty, like, for a simple, you know, with the power of the police, it's like, the capabilities, you know, they should be able to track me down. It's like, he's obviously has a respect for the law, you know, because he's far without being caught, so yeah, he probably has a healthy regard for what they might be able to do. Definitely misplaced, I would say, seeing as there's only one cop in town and now he's dead.
He said he's been doing it since he's like 18 or something like that. So.
Yes, last 15 years, that'd be since he was 18. Like he waits until he could be tried as an adult
just to commit crimes.
Just make it a challenge, you know?
I did like the constant, the very Japanese thing of him introducing himself by name and age and stuff. We skipped that scene where the girls are asking him out to lunch because he's David Bowie, you know, it's understandable. But the other guy's like, no, that's Kira, age 33. He's a very older dude.
Single. Always marital status as well. Single. I don't know why, with those devastating good looks and flowing blonde locks, but
he's pretty plain other than that. So then the rest of the episode is him trying to sneak around after schoolboys and rob their lunch, which sounds very farcical, but we know he's a murderer, so there's a tension there.
Just a slight bit of tension.
Yeah.
And I quite like the way the rest of this episode is kind of like a reverse of a standard JoJo's episode.
Yeah.
Where it's the villain who's got to get out of this predicament.
Yeah, it's like you're rooting for him to get the bag back and get out of there, but forgetting, like, this guy's a serial killer. He's been murdering people in this town for the last 15 years. Why am I on his side?
Yeah, but if he finds it, then that's kind of like he's going to try murdering people, whereas we want to see how he gets out of it, that kind of way, you know?
Yeah.
That's the episode. That's the fun of it. But yeah, he is a massive prick. So
yeah, he's quite clear that if someone finds that hand, then he's going to have to start killing people to
murders are happening. Sure.
So you kind of want him to get the hand without the other guys realizing the hand's there.
Yeah, because we like most of those school kids.
If you had to rank them in order, Dwayne,
Okuyasu, Josuke, and then the other guy.
Is that from favourite to least favourite?
Favourite to least, yeah.
Okay, right.
All in fourth place for me.
So he's got this plan Shigeichi has is to steal some drinks from his gym teacher because he knows where he hides them.
Oh, yeah, because they're calling him cheap and he's saying, like, okay, if you want to get, like, a good sandwich, we can just steal the drinks from the school or hop in the back window kind of thing.
Yeah,
they're like, come on, we wouldn't steal shit, dude.
No. We're not that kind of delinquent.
I'm absolutely right. I'm restarting this computer and it says, configuring Windows updates 30% complete. So,
yeesh.
Probably using the MP3 Skype recorder.
Okay. No problem.
But they don't. They say they're not that cheap. They're going to get the drinks themselves. So he sneaks in. He's about to sit down and have a sandwich and he goes, oh, no, got to have a coffee with my sandwiches. And then that gives the Kira a chance to sneak in and hide in the...
what do you call those? A horse or something?
Yeah, a vaulting horse.
Yeah, that's it.
And then the other two lads show up and they now do want a drink.
They actually couldn't afford the drinks like they said they could prior.
Further delaying the opening of this bag. And of course, Josuke sits on the wooden horse, so... Kira can't get out of it to steal the sandwich.
Yeah. It's a good thing they went in to the window butt first, otherwise I would have seen Kira, like,
if you went to your head first, you'd fucking fall on your face.
Yeah.
It's a really awkward window to get through.
And there's a weird bit, so as I hinted at earlier, there's this weird perspective where the door of this office is basically barely a couple of inches taller than Shigechi, which suggests that everybody at this school is as tiny as he is.
Well, this is the middle school.
Those other two kids are very tall.
It's the teacher's office. You don't hire small teachers to spook small children.
Sure, you can. Well, hey, he's the best person for the job.
Right? Gymnasts are traditionally quite short.
But we see him later. Quite clearly, he's not that small.
Well, like, his head's cut off the top of the screen, so he's probably a dinky little guy, isn't he?
But yeah, that was the thing where I was like, oh, let's go find that chapter and have a look. And I was like, no, that is the height of the door in the chapter, so I see.
Yeah, they're probably being comic accurate.
Yeah, again, it's the weird perspective of those other guys who in the comics start off really tall and end up tiny.
There appears to be all kinds of like size trickery in this, like this.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the work of an enemy stand.
Ah,
maybe the door has a stand power and it adjusts itself accordingly to whoever is going through it.
Not the best stand power, to be fair, but
yeah. And Kira's like, oh, hang on, in this wooden horse there is a coat hanger.
Perfect. Unbend this very carefully and use it to MacGyver my way out of this situation. Well, it's not that complicated. He's just using it as a hook. He manages to lift the entire sandwich bag and a human hand up pretty well. Yeah. And I was actually impressed at the tensile strength of that hanger.
But unfortunately, the tensile strength of the sticker on the bag
doesn't quite hold out.
No.
The bag flops down. Josuke is like, what's that noise? He goes over to check it. It's like, hey, get the fuck away from my sandwich, Josuke. I know you. You're just going to be like, oh, I just want one bite. Come on, man. We're buddies.
Whatever. Where's my tea?
And then the teacher shows up and they all have to leg it.
He doesn't even get to eat his sandwich. No. Oh, man.
Well, the sandwich vanishes because Kira manages to get it in.
Yes.
Like, yeah. You fucking Josuke ate my sandwich, didn't you? No, I didn't, man. Where'd you put it? No,
it was him, and he had to. He brought out his stand to search the room for the sandwich or the wrapper or something.
Yeah, and at this point, Kira wasn't seeing Harvest because it's so tiny.
Yeah, it's sneaking in under the horse.
Yes, he's stolen it from the one guy whose stand power is the ability to find things. So once Kira's out, then Shigechi finds him. He goes, there, you, why? There's a strange man I've never seen in my sandwich. Plus, he's a strange man wandering around our school.
Yeah, I did like him using the little the Harvest catchphrase of found it. Using it himself. But yeah, it's just like, I know that's my sandwich, and I know for specific reasons. What's the strange man doing here? Why do you have a sandwich? That's my sandwich. You know? I don't know, maybe he wrote his name on the bag or something.
I think Kira is very nice and explains absolutely everything to him after the hand gets ripped out of the bag.
Everything! Yeah, well, including personal details.
He's only telling him that because he's going to kill him. So.
That's part of his explanation.
Yeah. I'm telling you all this information, so I have no choice but to kill you right now, because you could just tell the police where I live, because I just told you where I live.
Yes.
And also my routine exercise before I go to sleep.
How early I get home, how early I go to bed.
Yeah. Also to reinforce that, this is all I want to do. Also murder people, but besides that, this is my routine, well, I'll stick to it. And
I want to get in fights, I don't want to be the best, however, if I did get in a fight, I'm going to fucking kill you now.
I just want to go to bed early, go up and go to work and do my job and kill some people and then go home and then go to sleep. Is that all I want to do? Okay, it's all right.
Yeah, it's the fact that he's presented himself as such this model citizen and such a good boy.
I wonder if he like met somebody and we got to know him. So, have you killed after 15 years? What? What? You don't do that? No? It's just me? Oh,
I thought everyone did that. Weird.
Ooh, this is embarrassing.
And that happened once for him to learn not to do it again.
That person is now dead.
So yes.
And so, yes, then he brings out his stand after he sees this kid's got a stand.
What is it? Deadly Queen or something?
Killer Queen.
No, the subtitle.
Yes. Yeah. But
Obviously. I can't remember what it was. Yeah, he says Killer Queen out loud, so it's
Killer Queen. Because I've named it Deadly Queen.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes. Yeah, and then we're left with this cliffhanger that next week she's going to get killed by this guy.
Hmm.
Oh, hang on. Close that. I wonder if that's what the problem was.
Ding dong.
Right. Anything else to add, apart from that there was loads of off-model drawings in this episode?
Still enjoyable, though.
It was still enjoyable, but I think it seemed like the highest density of off-model drawings.
Do you think they're kind of saving it for next week, or just coincidental?
I've no idea. Who can say at this point?
Mm.
Obviously, Windows 10 is telling me things, but it's not telling me.
We don't understand your quizzy machine language. Yeah. I like the return of the Good Morning More Your Radio show.
Yeah, but it's more like a freaking herald to like Kira at this stage.
It is, yes. It is a great. I think there's a lot of other good cues as well.
Yeah. Like his little musical stings.
Yeah, when he's walking away from the school, I thought that was a good. Because it felt ominous, but not in like an obvious, suspenseful sort of way.
That kind of fits with the rest of it, where it's trying to do this like everyday horror, you know? Yeah. Like the boring man down the street is a fucking murderer, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the fact that he has the boast where, I live in that's where the villas are.
Once you kill enough people, you can get to where I am, kid. You'll be making the big bucks.
But I think that's JoJo's for this week. Looking forward to see what happens next week.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're going to have like a long battle or whether other stuff's going to happen.
Mm. And he's in a school full of stand users now, so.
Yeah.
Well, he's not, because he's in the middle school. So.
He's in his own
school. Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Also, what's his stand, useful as it is, not very combat oriented, going to do against Killer Queen and what it can do?
Also, the man is straight up a murderer, so.
Yes. Talking of scary things. Banyanya, episode 7. Banyanya in the middle of the night, Nya.
Ah!
What is it? It's Mackerel Tabby Banyanya and Banyanya deciding to walk around the house in the middle of the night.
There's also the, what's the lady Banyanya?
They bump into her on the way, yes. So
she's terrified, obviously.
Yes, and they get even more terrified when they hear an extra bounce as they're walking around in the dark. And you see these glowing eyes following them in the dark.
The narrator just keeps missing it.
Yes. Is it a ghost Banyanya? No, it's Black Banyanya. Because he's a black cat.
Yeah, but he's still wearing a banana skin. We should have been able to see that.
Yes. They were playing tricks on us by not drawing that as well. Do you think they timed this episode for the same week as International Black Cat Day?
Really?
Yeah, that was this week, yeah.
Huh.
Not the same day, unfortunately, but was
it's
this
a good
week.
Tie-in if they did.
Yeah.
It
may just be a magic coincidence. But Banyanya is that powerful of magic. And then we get a little biography of Black Banyanya. It apparently comes from France.
Yes. That's why he wears a bow tie.
Yes, he's very classy and sophisticated.
He's a gentleman.
That's about it. I'm sure they did some other hijinks in the middle of the night, but this was the earliest thing I watched this week, so.
Yeah. Just jumping at shadows, you know, being cats scared of the dark.
That is true.
Well, my internet was so bad, like, I basically got to the bit where Banyanya comes out of the banana and then the internet shit itself. So that was nearly the episode for me.
Shooting like, next time.
Banyanya's there and the end.
Well, you were spared the scariness of this episode, Dwayne. Make sure you watch it in a brightly lit room. Okay, next up on our shorts list, Bono Bono, episode 6. Raccoon has made up his mind, and also Brian has made up his mind that this may be one of my favourite cartoons of the year.
Excellent.
The thing that the raccoon has made up his mind about is that he's going to chop his tail off.
Well, it doesn't do anything, does it?
No. It'll make him look thinner if he chops his tail off.
Yeah, because it's a big fat tail, you know, stripes. Doesn't really look good.
And Chipmunk and Bono Bono are horrified at this thought. And they go,
Bono's mostly sad.
Yes. But they both had those horrified sweat things flying off their heads. And my favourite line in the early bit is Chipmunk saying, "You're not going to bully me." And Raccoon goes, "No, I'm not going to bully you," and kicks Chipmunk.
It's like, you did, though.
Don't be stupid.
And they run through the various things their tails do. And they, but there's a guy, he says he'll be able to chop his tail off, lives by the desert. Old Man Weasel. And Old Man Weasel's like, "Well, are you sure you really want to chop your tail off? It's not as useless as you think. Come here, I'll show you." And he ties his tail up as if he's got no tail. He goes, "There, now try and walk in a straight line." And then Raccoon walks in a perfectly straight line. And then Old Man Weasel's like, "Oh, maybe I should cut it off after all."
Fair enough.
Apparently he's cut. What's he? He's cut down trees, mountains, and a star. This
but he
weasel.
Couldn't tell which star.
Yeah,
because there's lots.
Any of them.
Then what he did this with apparently was a sneeze, because he sneezes at Raccoon's tail and the tail does not fall off. And Weasel seems surprised because normally his sneezes can cut anything. And Raccoon is very annoyed.
It's like, "This is fucking bullshit. Fine, I'll leave it."
Wanders off, tail still intact. And then Bono Bono and Chipmunk notice that Old Man Weasel seems to be quite happy with this result.
Yes.
Almost like he planned it.
It's end of episode, yeah. The reason I liked it so much is I like the way that it feels like it's setting itself up to be like, let's make this guy appreciate himself as he is.
Well, let's just piss him off to the point where he gives up.
Yes. They do like that. He was like, obviously, in a normal cartoon, that tying up the tail, he wouldn't be able to walk in a straight line. He'd realise he needs his tail. But, of course, no, that has no effect at all.
So we specifically don't learn a lesson, except how to manipulate people, I suppose.
Yes. Raccoon's come out. It's the same result. Raccoon's not going to chop his tail off.
He's still a prick, but, yes. Yeah.
One way to skin a raccoon.
Yes. Not skin a raccoon, yeah.
Well, we've got things. Oh, the thing where they're running through all the different uses he could use his tail for after he chops it off. They could bury it. Use
put
it
nuts in it.
Yeah. Use it as a bag, stick your mouth into it and go whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, yeah. All these things and more.
Yeah.
I also like the Bono thing. I was like, okay, like, if you feel sad, if you'd miss the tail if it was chopped off. And he's like, yeah. What about your teeth? Do your teeth fall out? And he's like, oh, man, poor teeth. What about your hair? Your hair falls out. I don't feel bad for hair. It's kind of like, eh.
What reduces him to crying with his head in a bush? I can't remember.
Shit,
what
I can't remember, yeah. Maybe it was the initial concept.
The tooth one.
Yeah, I really enjoy this cartoon.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah, I can easily watch loads of episodes in a row, I think. Because they're only five minutes.
Yeah.
It's quite strange. So.
It is strange, and there's like variation between every episode as well, because it introduces these other new animals here and there. And I like the fact that the adults feel like adults, in that the kids think they've got some sort of clue, but really they don't have quite as much clues as the kids think they've got.
They're a bit more wily, but about as inept.
Yes.
Which is true of adults in real life.
Yes. Yeah, very relatable for people of all ages. And as I said before, I can really see why this has had multiple incarnations, because charming designs, charming stories. Thumbs up. Yeah, increasingly enjoying it the more I watch it.
One for all of them.
What about any... Do you watch any more Thunderbolt Fantasy, you two?
I watched... Well, Dwayne, you said you would watch the second one?
Yeah, I watched the second one.
Yeah, I watched that one a while ago, but sure, yeah, it's all good to me.
Yeah, we might have to watch a few in a row just to catch up on it.
Yeah.
So it kind of starts where the last episode ended. They're just all hanging around that little shrine thing, chatting about it. It's like, hey, you're going to help this princess one, like, with her sword, and the evil organization is after. He's like, no, I don't want to. I quite like the, what is it? Lin Zuya, who's like the, oh, don't mind me, I'm just an ordinary wanderer. Nothing over-designed about me. I don't have an entire fucking dream catcher hanging from my pipe.
I don't look like some kind of Yoshitaka Amano concept drawing for his Final Fantasy game or anything. No.
He's too fabulous to not be important, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Like, you know, I like this whole thing. It's like, you know, he's like, you know, so you're going to help us out? To Grumpy Guy. Grumpy Guy's like, no, screw you guys. I'm going home. And it's like, fine, go home then. And Maiden, who's the guy, shouldn't we, you know, like, probably get him on side? Because, you know, he's going to be after him. And it's like, don't worry, dear lady. I'm sure he'll find his way back to us somehow. Knowing full well that these guys are going to chase him to the end of the earth, and then he'll have to, like, pair up with them to...
As he soon discovers, he goes to the next town. He's looking for like a sandwich or something. There's a bit of bread, and everyone freaks out at looking at him and runs away. And he's like, "What the fuck? That's really weird." And he sees a bunch of wanted posters. If anyone helps this guy, they're an enemy and will fucking kill them.
Yeah, there's good puppeting there, like they're just going, just kind of like quivering, just going, "Whoa!" And he's closing all the shutters and the doors as he walks into town.
There's some good generic villager puppet freaking out in this episode. Yeah. So he's kind of pissed off about the whole situation that his life is ruined. So he wanders off into the countryside, and then there's this lunatic looking dude with one eye and a huge bowl who's like, "Hey, are you Shang Buhan?" And he's like, "No, I'm totally not that guy." Okay, because if you were Shang Buhan, I would say don't go into that woods. And I was like, "Well, I'm not him, so I guess I can." He's like, "Okay, good, that's fine."
And so he goes into the woods. Stubborn. I love him.
He goes into the woods, and it's filled with the bad guys we saw earlier in the episode going, "We're going to hunt down that dude." I forgot what the purple-haired lady's name is.
I don't know, but she has the oh,
she does, yeah.
As
yeah.
is a standard on your villain team.
Herself and a bunch of the faceless ring-wraith-looking dudes.
Pony Patrol.
I know, they don't even have cool swords. They have, like, just regular swords, but, you know. They're impressive when they come in, but you know they're just there as cannon fodder. So, so they kind of surround him and they do the standard speech thing. It was like, "Oh, it looks like you're going to be dying." It's like, "Oh, no, you're going to die. Double checked, you're going to die." And, you know, the back and forth speech, and they're just about to get in the fight.
It's for you. It's death.
There's a lot of the speech throwing back and forth. And then some other asshole wanders in and is like, "I'm totally going to do a fight now." And they're like, "Dude, we don't even fucking know you."
Like, main character, whoa!
Yeah, the guy who thinks he's the best in the show, who we've never seen before. I've forgotten, what's he called himself? The ice...
Blondie guy with spear.
He has some fancy-ass frou-frou name for himself. And I kind of like the really drawing out of this fight, because like all the generic guys are like, "Should we kill the kid as well?" It's like, and everyone's like, "Fuck it." So they kind of go for him, and then they start getting taken out by arrows. And... it turns out it was the one-eyed dude at the start of the forest, but how could he be even hitting them from here? It's so far away. And it turns out he only needs one good eye to shoot people from miles away. So the lady and the two remaining living goons turn into spirit balls or something. I'm not sure. You might call it meteor style or something. I can't remember.
They go really fast.
They go really fast. Go to him, surround him, and it's like, "Ha, you can only kill like two of us, and then the third guy would kill you." And he's like, "No fucking way. I'm awesome." His bow looks like a Klingon batleth as well. It's really crazy.
I assume, like, put some kind of blades in it just so he can cut dudes up.
And I really like the bit with him. There's less kind of swordplay coolness in this episode, but I like the thing of him where he's just like, he shoots three arrows straight into the air and basically like knocks them where he wants them to be so they'll die and get hit by arrows.
Yeah,
I really like the kind of like, that's pretty badass right there.
Didn't count on like the lady leader though, just stumbling and falling backwards and when I put the arrow missing her, then he's like, "You were so clumsy, you would be dead right now."
I overestimated you. I thought you'd get your balance like a step sooner. I guess because she's got her own design. He figured she was a bit tougher.
Well, she was one in charge, so figured she'd have some chops.
So she's the only one he doesn't manage to kill.
She's out there. She's like, "I'll get you next time, Chinese heroes, next time."
So your man meets up with him. Shang Buhan meets up with the archer again. He's like, "Okay, seriously, are you Shang Buhan?" And he's like, "Yeah, okay." And then shoots an arrow at him. To be continued.
Oh no!
I'm fucking loving this show, dude. It's great. It's silly as heck, and I kind of like that. And yeah. I don't know if they were purposely like really drawing out when the fight was going to happen in this episode, but I kind of enjoyed it. I kind of took it as a joke of, yeah, we're building up the fight, we're building up the fight, we're building up the fight. Who's that guy? I don't know. We're building up the fight, we're building up the fight. Oh, we're fighting a different guy, never mind.
Yeah. Yeah, it's silly and endearing. I've watched up to the fourth episode at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, there is some good bits with that blonde guy with the spear who fooled himself. You get some good, I guess, physical kind of comedy, because obviously he's going to be the kind of comic relief guy, so they got lots of good, like, public role of him kind of mugging around, which is really good to show off the kind of the skills and like have the what do you call it, the range, I suppose, of what they can do with these things.
Despite the like really long puppet arms and stuff, I thought the scene where he starts poking our hero and the dude smacks his hand away, dude, fuck off. I thought that was really natural.
It's really good. It's really good, like, testament to their skill. Undoubtedly, this is why I'm going to get like more complicated set pieces and things down the line. So for curiosity's sake, to see about those work, it's worth a go. It is fairly standard adventure thing. You know, I know precisely what's going to happen and where. But seeing it done with these things, it makes it seem more refreshing, I suppose.
Yeah, there's something about the kind of thing of puppetry that I imagine there'll be like heroic sacrifice and that kind of general kind of jazz, but it's kind of fun just to see this kind of very unique style of doing it, and that kind of makes it a lot fresher for me anyway. Yeah.
Mm. Kind of fun. There's a bit of all the work that goes into, like, tiny little like village for the puppets. There's only like one scene. All these little stalls, you know, pile with tiny little apples and all the little tiles in the roof. It's like, whoa.
Somebody had to make all those tiny breads.
Yes.
I mean, like, the villager puppets aren't as nicely designed, but, you know, they can't have all the sequence that everyone else has going on.
Yeah.
Okay, next up is 91 Days, Episode 6, To Slaughter a Pig.
Oh, I wonder what that episode title would entail, huh?
Subtle.
Yeah. This show is not subtle, though the plan is kind of subtle that they have for slaughtering said pig, which is, of course, Don Orko.
As soon as they, like, started enacting the plan, I kind of, like, predicted where it was going to go at each thing. Not that I didn't enjoy watching it.
But were you like, okay, where's the chicken coming in?
Yeah, I knew exactly where the chicken was coming in. Yeah.
Once it came in, I knew where it was, but yeah.
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 There's a long time between Avilio saying, catch that chicken, and the chicken actually becoming part of the plan.
Yeah.
So if you're like me, you forget the chicken was involved, and then you go, oh, yes, that's the chicken. So it turned out Avilio had got a plan, after all, on how to take care of Don Orko. But he didn't want to say it out loud in front of Fango.
Unless he was still planning it at the time.
Possibly. I mean, that's why he explains to Nero that he does have a plan.
Okay.
And that plan is for Nero and him to go straight up to Don Orko and arrange a meeting.
Yeah, let's just go straight to his restaurant. That should do it.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't know in the meantime that Don Orko has met with his younger brother and, what's his brother-in-law called now?
Ronaldo.
Yeah,
he doesn't know he's met with them. And they basically gone, all right, you know the way my brother has, like, a secret distillery and shit like that? Okay, we'll split the profits 50-50 kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, they were basically working with him. So the fact that he's kind of walking up to him going, like, oh, I got something for you. You're kind of like, he actually doesn't.
Well, he does, because he's going to give 100%.
He's going to give the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah, so basically he gets Orko to try some of the booze they're making. What they call it? It's got a cool name.
Bootleggers something.
Oh, like Lawless Heaven.
Yeah, that's it.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, and he's into this now. So, yes. So he agrees not to murder the pair of them where they sit.
Well, also, he very cleverly eats some of Don Orko's famous pasta. Oh, sorry, not
lasagna.
Pasta. Lasagna. And goes like, this is the best lasagna I've ever had. You know, it's like, compliment his restaurant to get in his good graces.
There was one annoying subtitle where quite clearly he's saying mama, but it gets translated to mum. So it should really be just translate it as just like mama used to make, because they're supposed to be.
Hey, come on. We're about to mobs this year.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. They're very clearly all Italian.
They're borderline, and some of them are borderline over the top parodies.
Well, okay. Except for Fango, who's only a parody of whatever the hell he's supposed to be.
Yes, he's gone way past borderline.
Hello, my name is Pasta Rosado.
Well, he dresses like a cowboy, which doesn't even match up to anything.
I don't know, is he supposed to be, like, because he's supposed to be, God, I can't remember the name, it's such a long time since I watched Scarface, but Al Pacino's character from Scarface, right. Towards the end, where... he's completely lost it.
So he's starting at the end.
Yes, Fango starting at the end and then going even further.
Why has Scarface survived? I'm back in time.
Yes, dyed his hair.
Oh dear.
So they take them to there, but then it appears they get ambushed. The Nero set them up, and then Avilio appears to turn on Orko, but previously he's checked the Orko to see if Orko was the guy who sent him the letter.
Like that bit was crazy. Like, I didn't expect him to turn to Don Orko. It's like, hey, my real name is Thing. I really want to kill him and his father because they killed me. Did you send the letter? He's like, no.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, but that's also to sell, like, you know, this like betrayal of of Nero by Avilio. I was like, oh, I see, you shot him because he's the guy who helps kill your father. Okay, I see.
But you also get the feeling that if Don Orko was the guy, he would have aimed a little higher.
Yeah. But I did find that really interesting, because it's basically if you betrayed the guy you're working for, and then he's like, I want to work for you, Don Orko. And it's like, you betrayed the last guy you worked for. Fucking no. But in Don Orko's eyes, he's like, hey, he avenged his father. This guy's totally cool.
Yes. So, yeah, it looks like basically they trick them into thinking that Avilio's killed Nero by using said chicken. And
it really becomes obvious when Nero's like, try some of the booze, Don.
Yes.
Come on, try that booze. Try the booze.
Yeah, and then shot on the bottle and the three glasses.
Yes. And Avilio does not take a sip.
When he offers them the booze again, they're like, yeah, let's totally drink now. Everything's fine.
Don Orko and his mate fall unconscious, and he wakes up prisoner of Fango.
Right in Fango's office, I guess?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And then we see Fango's now head of the... He's explaining to the lieutenants of the Orko family that he's now in charge. He's dressed as a chef, and to celebrate, he's cooked them lasagna.
Since I'm taking over Don Orko, we're going to do the restaurant. Obviously, it's going to be like fucking Fango's now, but we're going to keep up the fine tradition of cuisine. Why don't you try the lasagna? Because I know that there's the best lasagna in town. And it's like, fucking try it. Do it. And they're all scared because they know how lasagna used to treat them in the old days. And also, Fango's fucking crazy. Yeah. So...
It's going like, hey, former head second-hand man at Don Orko, how's lasagna? Tastes pretty good, right? And he's like, yeah, it's really nice. Oh, what this reminds me. Oh my God.
Like, as soon as they all started digging into the lasagna, it's like, nom, 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 very nice lasagna. It's like, oh, guys, come on. What do you think is happening right now? I love Fango's long explanation.
They're going as well. This lasagna is so good. If only Don Orko was here to try some of this.
Oh, he couldn't have any. There's not enough. And it's like, oh, it's a pity there's not enough. I'd have seconds. Oh, there's plenty left. And they're like, wait, what? Like, just fucking say it, you asshole.
So why does the first one throw up? Is it just he figures it out?
He bites into a tooth in his
tooth. I thought it was the second one who got the tooth.
Oh, you're right. I think the first lieutenant who was eating it figured it out on his own accord. Yeah. And then everyone fucking figures it out.
Yeah. The second guy pulling the tooth out. It's like... and then just mass vomiting while Fango cackles and giggles.
Yeah, I am so glad I did not watch this with dinner. That would have been a bad idea.
And then we go back to the other guys, and they're tucking into lasagna and chicken.
Is it the same lasagna?
I don't know. They were going to eat the chicken that had sacrificed itself for the plan. Yeah.
Well, you don't want the lasagna to go to waste.
I mean, like, Don Arco was a big fat man, so I imagine he made a lot of lasagna.
This is like, you know, the Depression era America. Food's hard to come by. Yeah. Because
I noticed it was Tigre who was like munching on the lasagna the most, and it's like, no, poor guy.
There was a bit earlier where they're like, Tigre's survived. He's pulled through.
well, back in hospital again.
Yeah, and so Avilio and Coltio are standing outside and they're discussing the letter again and think, oh, is the fourth guy? So it's like the fourth guy is showing remorse, and then Avilio's about to say an alternative reason why fourth guy might have sent the letter, and then get interrupted by Nero. So obviously he's beginning to suspect that maybe someone's turned him loose. For their own plans.
To raise hell and then create a power vacuum.
Yes.
Which is exactly what they're doing by messing with Orko and putting Fango in charge. That kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, we're not safe yet. Fango's still got a lot of enemies. And then it's like, okay, is the next part of the plan killing Fango?
Who will make the lasagna? Oh, God. Yeah, this show's great.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, I don't think I'm particularly smart for being able to figure out what exactly was going on with their plan and shit. Like, when every new thing kind of came along, but it's even though it's kind of obvious, it's really kind of fun to watch it play out, you know?
Yeah.
I was thrown for a second, you know, when Nero got shot, because then well, they offed Vano in like episode two, so
yeah, that's maybe. The thing.
Maybe.
And of course,
it's a distinct possibility.
Avilio's performance in quotation marks is very convincing.
Yeah.
Rehearsal might be more appropriate. Yes. Yeah. Oh, dear.
Yeah, interesting. And it moves so quickly, this story. It's like, where does it go next?
Initially, when it was called, like, 91 Days, I figured, it's going to be, like, 90-something episodes. And it's like, are they going to go, like, oh, each day? I was like, no.
No, highly enjoyable. So, recommend 91 Days.
Mm.
Yeah. Mob Psycho 100, Episode 6. Discord. Tilde. To become one. Close tildes. In which we get the fallout of everything which happened last episode.
Mm. I guess a lot did go down, so yeah.
Yeah. But I think even more goes down this episode.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Less involving Mob, but kind of everyone around him, especially his brother.
Yes. Yes, there's a lot of... Ritsu is a... Well, he's got all sorts of stuff going on.
Mm.
So he's part of the student council. He's like the youngest... Have they mentioned specifically that he's Mob's little brother?
It was said... Mob has said, like, it's like, sure, you can do psychic powers. You're my little brother.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they say it on the council, because they don't care about Mob. Mob is like...
No, I'm not sure I picked up that he was the little brother.
It's not obvious. It seems like he's his older brother.
I'm pretty sure it's in like episode one where he's going on at the dinner table and introducing like his family to him. I think it said Ritsu Kageyama, younger brother.
Yeah.
Mob is sure it
I think
did.
You're right. But yeah, I think maybe the way he's acted since then has made me forget that and think he's the odd... But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of supposed to be the thing, because he's the big man about campus and stuff, so it seems like he would be the older brother for all intents and purposes.
But yeah, he's like the youngest on the student council.
Because he's like one of the smartest kids.
Yes. The president is like, yeah, he's smart kid. I'll take his opinion. You're smart, give us
I think he's one of the smartest kids in Japan, yes, or something like that, one of the best scoring.
So he suggests that they're going to take care of the delinquents in the school. And then we get there's all sorts of bits where the president of the student council's failing to live up to
his brother's example.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, he sleeps on garbage. I'm not sure what that's about.
Because he is garbage. It's made to feel like it anyway.
The vice principal is like basically telling Ritsu not to be like your older brother who tries to just be normal and not stand out.
Yeah, so he sent him as like, dude, he's basically trying to give him a pep talk. He's like, yes, dude, fucking stop trying to stand back and fucking let other people do the shit. You're like a smart kid. Stop trying to be like your brother. And every time someone says that to him, he takes it completely the wrong way. And that's really, really interesting. Like,
well, it comes across as more threatening than that. It's more like he's saying, don't fall into mediocrity.
Yeah, but what he's saying, potential. He's being positive towards him, but he's taking it as a negative. It's like every time someone says that, then it's like, you can't be like your brother because he's awesome. But when they're actually saying, dude, your brother sucks, you're awesome.
Yeah.
But he never picks it up like that.
And then he gets mistaken for his brother and handed an invite to
by some lunatic,
but Kenji Mitsura from the Awakening Lab. And he goes along and pretends to be his brother, and we meet a bunch of other psychics.
I did like that initially, where it's like, dude, this is just an apartment complex. Are you trying to do something to me right now? He's like, no, it's fine. Come on.
And then also with the psychics, you're simply like, well, the first couple could just be lucky, and then the guy does have pyrokinesis, but it's just useless.
Yeah. Like a little flash for like a half second.
It's actually like Mitsuru keeps going on. These guys, you know, are all easily replaced by stuff you can get in a news agent. So.
The president lures him into this plan to discredit Onigawara.
Yeah, and he's having a really kind of interesting arc because he has decided not to be the shadow leader anymore because another guy from their school beat up the guy, their shadow leader from the other school. So he's like, okay, I think that counts as voting for a new shadow leader. We have to find out who that guy is. And he's asking the body improvement club, and they're like, no, he's a gentleman. He wouldn't be into that kind of thing. And then the body improvement club guy tricks him into going jogging, which he really enjoys.
Yes.
And earlier on, when he comes across Mob, he actually apologizes for getting him involved in the whole situation. So the delinquent guy seems okay.
Yeah. Yes, but Ritsu mistakes him for being mad at Mob, and therefore that makes him
go along with
the student, the president's plan to take apart all the girls' recorders and hide them in his desk and bag.
I didn't understand what that was doing initially until they explained it. I was like, why would anyone do that? That's a really weird thing.
Whereas I was watching it, I was expecting I fully expect that scene to be parodied by people using the Gagmanga Biori characters. The rabbit and the bear. Because the bear's always getting accused of doing things like that. Except in his case, he denies it, and then it turns out at the very end that, yes, he was the one who did it. There's always the same police siren sound effect and him being led away by the police.
So is this like a thing, like a secondhand kiss type situation?
Yeah.
Okay. Do people actually do that? That's really weird.
I don't know whether they do it, or maybe one person did it
ever,
in front of
right.
a manga artist. He drew it in a comic, and then since then other artists have gone, hey, I remember that happening in a comic once, I should stick it in
I think that happened once, yeah, sure.
Sounds like something fucking Rohan would do. Here, you, lick this.
I need the experience of it. Oh, dear.
And then at the end, Ritsu's annoyed at himself for going along with the president's council, annoyed at pretending to be a psychic, throws a spoon in anger,
and quits the
Awakening Lab.
Club.
But then they pick up the spoon, and it's all twisted crazily in a way that would not have been caused by the impact of the spoon being thrown at the ground.
Yes, I think that was good to show, because it's like, wow, look at it, you threw a spoon across the room and it's broken. It's like, yeah, but...
And then Ritsu gets home and he sees something which looks a bit like a balloon hanging off the gate. And it turns around and it's Dimple. Though we know it's Dimple because we've seen Dimple from behind.
Yeah, we know who Dimple is.
But he's not expecting a balloon to have a face and to turn around and look at him.
Like, hooray, he didn't die again.
Yes. But now what's he going to do to...
Is it hooray, though? Because Dimple's kind of an asshole.
Yeah. And he's not going to be afraid of Ritsu the same way he's afraid of Mob, is he? Mm.
Yeah.
And there's some of the stuff with Regan doing another pep talk to Mob.
He's actually pretty good at the pep talks, despite
The problem, as Dimple pointed out...
When it comes from him,
it seems meaningful. Well.
And Mob and Tomei from the Telepathy Club go on a date...
That's right, yeah. A very unsuccessful at both what they were looking for a date.
Which just involves them sitting and her going, is that a telepath? Can you see any telepaths?
No, but that guy's got a weird haircut, though.
Yes. Yeah, Mob's just pointing out people with interesting haircuts.
But he does spot a frightening adult telepath with a frightening aura.
Mm.
The other bit is has his boss doing another reading.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Actually, he's doing a seance, isn't he?
Yes.
I fucking love that with the bullshit. I was like, hey, it's totally me, your father. It's like, weird, you speak Japanese now?
Yes, sorry. All seances speak for me, like, translated into Japanese when they go through me.
Free of charge. Don't worry about it. And he's just trying to come up with bullshit. It's like, hey, Dad, how about you do that thing we did, remember? And he's like, he does a weird dance. And he's like, yeah, it's totally a thing I do. Don't worry about it, son.
And we also get the explanation of it's like Regan's excuse that why Bob can't detect his psychic powers. Because he's got spiritual powers, not psychic
different.
Powers. Yes. Which weirdly is a thing in Psyche K as well, is the other guy with superpowers has got spiritual powers, which is why it messes up Psyche with psychic powers.
Hmm. Yeah, you were saying they're weirdly synchronous.
Yes, because they started around the same time. It'd be very interesting to read them chronologically against each other to see who was influencing who or whether they were both influenced by something else.
Well, they're both probably influenced.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all probably influenced by the same kind of psychic stuff, you know.
Yeah, stuff you're interested in when you're a teenager. You think, oh... Well, as I say, Psyche K's got that guy who thinks he's got psychic powers.
Yeah, what was the girl in the former psychic club? She calls everyone Espers, isn't it?
Yeah. But she's only interested in telepaths so they can help her talk to aliens.
Yeah, that's her only interest in telepathy and psychic powers.
Because in this episode, she thought the aliens had blown that skull up. But it turned out it was Mob.
So, I like the school bully. I love the fact that he was really worried about losing his perfect attendance.
Yes.
The Body Improvement Club are still lovely young men.
Yeah, they're the nicest characters in the show.
They're so nice. They're really supportive to Mob, even though he's not doing a great job. It's like, yeah, you're building up stamina, Mob. Don't worry about it.
They don't want to get into fights.
Yeah.
Solve things peacefully.
What a bunch of lovely young men. Dear.
But yeah, really enjoying the show. Yeah, good episode. It built nicely, and that reveal of Dimple at the end was like, oh, I've got to see what happens next week.
Like, you know it's Dimple, but it's just creepy when he turns around.
Like, I'm seeing a sort of, as a climax, I'm going to remember Gene, the two brothers here, where Mob is going to try and keep his emotions down, but I feel like Richie's going to tap into them more to access his powers. So, and, of course, it's going to send them on a mission course, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a lot of kind of cuts in here as well, like, you know, obviously, because the manga is based upon and everybody has the same goddamn face. But using that in interesting ways now, when we're cutting between, let's say, Mob and Ritsu.
We've lost Niall. It's
like kind of between scenes that where they'd be like, oops, where have we gone? I'm still here.
You were cutting out a bit there.
No, sorry, go on again. The cuts between the faces, you were saying.
Like, you know, yeah. Let's say, it was kind of different things, you know, when like, the birth.
Oh,
to be discussed between people, you know, and they're talking to, say, Mob, and then, you know, they'd be in the same position. Oh, am I going again? Going again?
Yeah, in fact, and also I think you're lagging behind us because you're hearing my reactions moments after I make them. And I can also see you dropping in and out of the Google Drive document as well.
Dang. Never going to get that explanation.
Never going to get an explanation out of him, no.
Oh, well.
Apart from that, it was a great episode.
Yeah, it's doing a really good job of switching between kind of what seems like a lot of darker stuff in it, especially with his brother. But it really managed to keep the jokes up as well, which I like.
Yeah.
Because if it didn't manage to do that, I think I'd kind of like, I wouldn't have liked the episode as much, you know?
Yeah, and I like the fact that he went slower after the speed of last week's episode.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like, the last week's episode happened in a very short amount of time, but a lot fucking went on in it, sure.
It was nice to see, like, how much effect that one fight had on all these people.
Yeah, yeah. Have an effect on all the extended cast and everything like that.
And to really establish that extended cast as well. Because it felt like we've seen these people before, but we didn't know them. And now we kind of have a better idea of who they are. Plus, we added a bunch more people from the Awakening Lab.
I assume we'll
crop up again.
With their amazing powers.
And their amazing character designs.
I like the twins. They're pretty great.
I like the guy with the huge flicked haircut.
So cool. Ben Spoons.
Me too.
Okie dokie. I think that ends this week's episode of Let's Go JoJo. Be back next week to hang with the Let's Go gang. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcast at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com and dynamiteinthebrain.com. Goodbye.
Bye.